This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the AIPIS show for accredited income property investment specialists and those who aspire to be. If you're a real estate, mortgage, or financial professional, this is the place for you. We'll explore innovative investment analysis, sales, marketing, and income-generating strategies for the most historically proven wealth creator, income property. Learn from the experts as they show you how to build a better business and a better life.
Welcome to the AIPIS show for accredited income property investment specialist and those who desire to be. This is your host, Jason Hartman, where we talk about increasing your income, your productivity, and just generally having a better life while serving your clients better with America's most historically proven asset class, income property. We have a great interview for you today, and we will be back with that in less than 60 seconds. Hey, I want to welcome a real geek to our show today, the Land Geek. It's Mark Podolsky, and he's going to talk to us about investing in raw land, something I've never really been a fan of, so I'm kind of anxious to hear his unique strategy and have him convince me otherwise. Let's see if he can move the needle. Mark, welcome. How are you?
Jason, thanks so much for having me. I'm great.
Good to have you. And you're coming to us from Scottsdale, Arizona, one of my favorite places.
Yeah, no, it's beautiful here. The weather finally broke, Jason.
Yeah, I took, 8 months of the year, Phoenix has the world's best weather, in my opinion. And all these California people, as I've told you, I think they're highly delusional. And since I lived where you live for 4 years and in Southern California all my life, and I've now moved back to Southern California, living in La Jolla, California, San Diego area, I still feel that way. California has yet to convince me that it's worth the extra 13% per year just in taxes, not to mention all the other higher expenses. But we shall see. So how did you become interested in raw land investing? Did you, do single family homes and all the sort of places, investors usually start in the real estate game?
It's so funny. No, I started out as an investment banker, and I was doing mergers and acquisitions for a boutique firm out here working with private equity groups. And so we hire this guy at our firm, and we go out, we're having a drink together, and he's telling me that on the side, he's going to these tax deed auctions, buying raw land and flipping them online and making on average a 300% return on his investment. So Jason, I'm looking at companies all day long, and a great company has 15% EBIT margins or free cash flow. Your average company is at 10%, and I'm looking at companies well below 10% all day long. So I'm from St. Louis, I'm from the Show Me State, Missouri, I don't believe him. So I go to New Mexico with him, and I had like $3,000 with me saved up, from like car repairs. And I bought 10 half acre parcels at this tax deed auction in the middle of like nowhere, New Mexico. Sure enough, I put them up online and I sold them all for, $4,000, 300% all day long. It was crazy. So I took that money and reinvested it in another tax deed auction in a small county in Arizona. I mean, Jason, we're buying up properties for $5, $10, $20, right? Put it up online, flipped it, and I made $90,000 on this second auction. And
okay, hold your horses here for a moment. So would it be fair to say that you're really not a land investor per se? You're a tax deed or tax lien investor.
No, because this is where the story changes, because once the market sort of gets wind that people like me are going to these tax deed auctions, the rooms get a lot bigger, and now we can't buy properties 20, 30 cents on the dollar like we could. And so I pivot.
Okay, and give us a context for the time here, because that's obviously very important. When did you buy your first tax deed or tax lien? What should I be calling it?
It's a tax deed.
Okay, and where was it? What state, what county?
So that was in New Mexico, in Luna County, New Mexico.
Okay. And what year was it?
This is in 2000.
Okay, so 2000. Okay, so the market was fairly soft, but just ramping up there. Okay, all right.
Right, right. So for the next 18 months, I'm doing land flipping on the side, and I'm working my job, which I absolutely hate. And 18 months later, the land investing business exceeded my investment banking income, and I quit. And I've been doing raw land investing full time since 2001. And I've done over 5,000 transactions.
Wow, that's a big number of transactions. Talk to us about geography. Do you have any specific, because the tax lien and tax deed auctions work very differently in different places. And, you know, I've dabbled in that a little bit as well. But where are you doing this, first of all? Tell us about geography.
Right. So tax lien investing, I think, is a great passive way to make, you know, I don't know, 12, 15% on your money. But with a tax deed, when you actually own the property, that's very different. I mean, the margins are ridiculous. So I like the Southwest, California, a little bit in the Northwest, and I like Florida. I ignore the rest of the country. I don't want to deal with the East Coast. I don't want to deal. I mean, look, Jason, who wakes up and says, boy, I'd really love some property in Omaha? Only people in Omaha, right? So I buy property where people in New York and LA.
Maybe Warren Buffett does. I don't
know. Yeah, Warren Buffett. Okay. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, but otherwise, most people, it doesn't really stoke their imagination at all. But if you can buy, you know, say 40 acres in Nevada and it's wide open, there's no one there, and it's an affordable piece of property at like a car payment that everyone can afford, that is a really a compelling way to start building your net worth and investing in property if that's what you want to do. And there's a huge market of people that want to do that. So we just serve those people.
So raw land, so any particular type of land or zoning or size, what type of land are you buying?
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so I'll kind of walk you through my exact model, right? So I want to, first thing is I want somebody who's distressed. I want to buy the property 20, 30 cents on the dollar.
Are you always buying it as a tax lien or tax deed?
No, I'm actually going direct to the person that owes back taxes.
Okay, so you're looking for someone who's in default on their taxes, but not necessarily at the tax lien or tax deed stage yet, right?
Correct, correct. Yeah, okay. So typically they...
Or
they
I should say the auction stage where it's being auctioned off. Yeah.
So I want to get them before the auction because I don't want, you know, to be in a competitive room. Now, depending on the year and the market, tax deed and tax lien auctions are phenomenal, right? So from 2008 to, say, 2011, you could buy all day long at the auction because nobody was there. But now as the market is kind of getting back up, you want to avoid the auctions. So it just depends where you are in that cycle, if you want to go to those rooms or if you want to avoid the rooms and go direct to the owner. So I typically always like to go directly to the owner anyways. So we'll send out an offer. And Jason, I don't want to be in the appraisal business. So I'm not sending out a postcard saying, hey, I'm interested in buying your property. I'm actually sending an offer for that property. They can take it or leave it. And we get a 3-5% response rate on these offers. So they come back, we do our due diligence, we close on it very quickly. And again, my person is typically lives out of state and owes back taxes. So they have no emotional connection to that parcel of land. So we're helping them get out of what was once an asset is now a liability for them. So we buy the property and then we then flip it for cash, either at a 300% ROI. But my favorite way to sell it is on owner financing. Because of time value of money, we mark it up about 1,000%. And so we usually try to get our money out on the down. And now we've got this passive income coming in every single month, the Jason Hartman way, right? But now I'm doing it with the best asset, I think, because I'm not dealing with any tenants, right? No toilets, no termites, no rehabs, no renovations. And I don't have anything to maintain, nothing to protect. I don't have to deal with Dodd-Frank. I don't have to deal with RESPA. I don't have to deal with the SAFE Act because I'm not dealing with a tenant. So land is exempt. And we have built this massive portfolio of land notes, and it's fantastic. So I that's why I call my podcast the best passive income model.
Okay. So it's a passive income model when you become the seller financing the deal, so long as that borrower pays, which, you know, hopefully they do. And I'm sure that works out most of the time, especially with the correct amount down and, you know, the correct structure qualifying that borrower maybe. But what about environmental concerns? You know, land is not free from every issue. Okay. You know, you buy a piece of land and you become responsible for it. When that is vacant land, I would think it's far more likely that it could have some environmental issue that could become your problem. Now, maybe this has never happened to you, but, you know, at least talk about that as a possibility. When you buy an improved property, you know, that stuff's usually been cleared, okay? You know, if you buy a single family home, unless it was a meth lab, you're not going to have an environmental issue, right? It's not going to be a toxic waste cleanup site, an EPA Superfund site. That's why they have these brownfield laws. That's what they're called. Tell us about that possibility. You know, I mean, developers are very concerned about this stuff. They start turning over dirt on vacant land and they discover, oh my God, it's an Indian burial ground. It's a, you know, it's some historic issue. There's a gnat catcher, a spotted owl. I mean, it's endless.
Right, okay? Right. Yeah.
You know, or it was a battery factory or a gas station or, you know, who knows, whatever, a munitions dump.
Right, right. And so in my niche, we're really avoiding these areas that could have these issues. And a lot of it is just done with basic due diligence. But also because we're focused on the Southwest and Florida, these are areas that typically you don't find Superfund sites and any kind of environmental issues on at all, because they're typically wide open rural spaces. Now, if you're buying land in, say, New Jersey or Pennsylvania, you know, any of those areas in the East Coast, you know, Maryland,
the Rust Belt areas.
That's a different you know, game altogether. So,
which, by the way, I did want to mention, and this, let's not get off on a tangent here, but I just want to throw this in. When you talked about the geography in which you invest, you know, most of these tax lien buyers, they're going to places like Illinois, where they pay the highest return on those tax liens or tax deeds.
Right, right. I mean, Georgia is phenomenal.
Right. I mean, you know,
Texas,
that,
I think, is really good. Right? Arizona at 16%. But again, you know, do I want to make 16%? Do I want to make 24%? Or do I want to make 300% to 1,000% for doing basically the same amount of work and due diligence? Actually, it's more work on my end because we still have to go out and market the property versus just being a passive tax lien investor. And 90% or 95% of tax liens are redeemed. But I actually want to own the property. I don't want, you know, to get 16%. So, you know, it's not like tax lien investing with houses, which is, you know, a really nice way to do that in a passive environment. And you can even go to companies that specialize in it. Now, you're not going to make 16% if you go to a third party, but you'll still make a better return than you would, say, in the stock market or you know, putting your money in the bank.
Yep, good stuff. Okay, so address the environmental question.
So the environment, so, you know, we avoid those areas that would have any type of environmental issue just by working our strategy that we've been doing since 2000, which is avoiding areas that typically would have a Superfund site on them. You know, areas in New York or Pennsylvania, New Jersey, you know, the East Coast is really where those issues could be. Now, I have bought property in Nevada where, you know, just to the south, you know, the Air Force would bomb. So we, you know, we do our due diligence and we avoid those areas where there could be any environmental issue. So it's all about just following that checklist of due diligence and then closing. So you just do your homework like you would any other investment.
Yeah. Okay. Tell us how you do your due diligence, how you make this offer. Like, you must have your own offer document rather than filling out some kind of association of realtors form that's real complicated, I assume. How do you know how much to offer the person who's delinquent on their taxes? How do you find them? You know, there's a million questions here, right? Obviously, we don't have time to go into them in great detail, but, you know, just give us an overview.
Yeah, so basically what we'll do is we'll do a little bit of research, and we'll either do the quick and dirty, which might be 30% of the assessed value.
Well, where do you do the research?
Okay, so there's a great website called NACO.org, and NACO.org has all the county information.
Can you spell that?
NACO.org. And so that's a great place to start. Okay, so then I'm going to get a list of people from the treasurer that owe back taxes, or I'll just get the assessor's parcel list. So I'll get all the people that own all the property in the particular county that I'm focusing on. Then we'll scrub that list and we'll take out all the industrial property, all the commercial property. We'll get all the houses out of there and we can sort it by, you know, say use code, which might just be vacant land. And then we'll take a look at, okay, you know, let's say there's 1,000 parcels on this list. Well, let's batch them into 100. So we'll take a look at 100, and typically there'll be 100 in, say, one area. And then we'll go to the Oracle. We'll go to Google and we'll just copy and paste that legal description into Google. And all of a sudden we'll see, holy cow, look at all the properties that are listed here on sites like landandfarm.com or landflip.com or landhub.com or landwatch. I mean, there's a million of them, right? So now we're kind of getting an idea of the market. And then we'll go onto the county website. We'll plug in a couple APNs. We'll put them into an Excel spreadsheet and we'll look at some comps. And then from there, we'll do our backwards calculation. So we know, okay, if the properties are selling for $10,000 and I want to make a 300% ROI, well, what's the most I can pay for that property, including the back taxes? It's, you know, going to be typically $2,500, something like that. And that's how we do it. So then we send out those offers. Again, there's no room for negotiations. I don't want to be in the appraisal business. They come back, we close on those deals, and right away we get to the marketing part of it. And the due diligence really helps with your marketing, because today due diligence is easier than it's ever been with technology. You go to Google Earth and you get the GPS coordinates. From those GPS coordinates, you can use an app like what3words.com, which is unbelievable, and you can send your potential buyer just three words and they can go and find that property. So it could be jason.hartman.awesome, and that's the GPS coordinates for their property, right?
Can I explain that again? I'm not sure I really understood that.
You gotta look at this website called what3words.com. It's going to change your life.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. It's amazing. So you got Google Earth, you got what3words, you get the GPS coordinates, you get the aerial maps, you go to the county, you get the plat maps online, you take your screenshots, and then you start getting, you know, an idea of what's compelling about this property. Are we near mountains? Are we near lakes? Are we near rivers? Are there recreational amenities, right? What's the town like? How's it, is it growing? Is it declining? Are you near a Walmart? Or, you know, what is it that's going to make this property compelling for your potential buyer? And, you know, there's this whole sub niche of people called preppers or survivalists.
Oh, sure. I have a show for them, the Holistic Survival Show.
Yeah, yeah. So there's, you know, there's a certain amount of land that they, you know, need to get served.
They want a bug out location.
They want a bug out location. They want they want to hide. And, you know, we can serve them by buying this inexpensive property and getting it in their hands.
Yeah, interesting. Okay. All right. What else should people know about this? Tell us more about the process. And so you don't appraise anything. You just look at, What do you have to pay in back taxes on the piece of land? And then you basically decide what your ROI needs to be. Well, you have to know what you can sell it for to figure out your ROI. How do you know that?
So again, we're going to look at comps, right? We're going to see what the property has sold for in the past. And sometimes with raw land, it's like the last area of real estate where it's truly what a buyer and a seller agree to. You can't go on Zillow.com and get an idea of value for raw land. They're just all over the place. It's kind of crazy in that sense. But because it's this inefficient market, you can really, you know, kind of make your own market in a way. Sometimes the market will dictate it. So sometimes I'll have to flip a property for cash as opposed to seller financing. And sometimes I'll have to do seller financing to move it. As opposed to selling for quick cash, because I don't want to hold a property for any more than 30 days. And to do that, we have to make these properties priced irresistibly. And that's really the secret to our marketing, is just irresistible pricing. But when you're buying an asset 20 to 30 cents on the dollar, it's not that difficult to do. So, and you can, you know, walk a buyer through where the value is by showing some recent comps, right? And if there aren't any comps, then it's kind of like, okay, well, what do you think it's worth? And it always kind of works out that way. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like the Wild West in terms of pricing. So, you know, basically what you're saying is people overpay.
You're right.
I mean, I've always been fascinated by these commercials I hear on the radio of these companies selling ranch land in New Mexico and Arizona. And I'm sure you know these companies very well. And you know, they'll sell these parcels starting at like 20 grand and, you know, they're just completely unimproved land. I mean, probably nobody ever does anything with it.
They pay $2,000 for those properties and they're selling it for 20.
Yeah. And they end up, the people pay the taxes for a few years. They do seller carrybacks, the exact model you're describing. And then people eventually default and because they just get sick of it and they never end up doing anything with it. And so, then someone comes in and buys it up and gets a good deal and can resell it. So the cycle continues.
Right. So, I tell my friends, I shuffle paper and I make money. And it's a very simple model because all you have is a piece of land, a buyer and a seller, and that's it. We don't have to deal with mortgage companies. It's just very simple compared to traditional real estate.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. We do this stuff with land contracts in the Grand Rapids market in Michigan, and we do it with houses. And, you know, they're great. That's just a great, like, alternative investment to owning the property because you don't have to deal with the management responsibilities of owning the property. You basically become the bank.
Exactly.
And that's the position you're in.
Yeah. The land contract is genius because there's no costs of foreclosure.
That not a land contract, but you basically have to do a breach of contract, you know, so it's, you don't foreclose, but it's that way. So do you do land contracts or do you sell the property and carry a note when you sell the land?
Yeah. So I own the property until they pay off their note. And it's on a land contract, a promissory note and a purchase sale agreement. If after 30 days, they're late, they've got 35 days to cure. And then it just reverts back to me and I resell it. Any improvements I keep all the money.
Do they ever improve them? Probably not.
Yeah, they do. A seller. He's owned this property for about 3 years. He put a shed out there. He dropped a well. Sometimes they fence it. They'll put some, structures on there. I've seen people build like little lodges. There's minor improvements. Nothing, major. I've never taken back a house.
Yeah, right. How do you deal with those improvements, though? Those could kind of like become the next problem, right? Because then you've got improved land, all the stuff you don't like.
Right. So I'm really big into automation and processes and streamlining this business so that, 90, 95% of the work is done by virtual assistants. So, one of the great things about, doing business today is crowdsourcing. So for $79, I can use a company like WeGoLook.com, or I can do a local Craigslist gig and have someone physically go out to the property for me, take pictures, shoot video. I want to see what the neighbors are like. Is anybody dumping?
What's the name of that website? I know Raw Porter, TaskRabbit, but I haven't heard of the one you just
mentioned. Oh, yeah. It's WeGoLook.com.
So someone will travel out to that property and in your business, I assume that could be kind of far.
It could be far. It could be 30 miles from town. Sure. But.
Oh, so just 30 miles? It won't be hundreds?
No, not typically.
Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. So we go look, I'm at their website and it sounds like they just, do insurance business too. What do they charge you? $79 or do they charge you by the mile or how does that work?
Yeah. I mean, you can negotiate it, but it's typically $79.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. Very interesting. Okay. And they'll just take a bunch of pictures, video for you. Will they interview people?
They'll do whatever you want, but I mean, they don't need to interview anybody. I mean, you can just pick up the phone or have your virtual assistant pick up the phone and contact, the locals and, local broker or, county officials, planning, zoning. They'll tell you the story, what's going on out there too.
Good stuff. Okay. So tell us a little bit about your operation to do this, Mark. Do you have virtual assistants, employees? What do you subscribe to, like databases? I mean, you're not surfing around that website you mentioned, I assume. You have a more streamlined process, I'm sure.
Yeah. So we use a website called processstreet.com. And literally what we've done is we've created checklists, web-based checklists for every aspect of this business. And so literally we've become bulletproof. So it's all about that process. And if my 10-year-old daughter doesn't understand that process, it's not a good process. So that's basically what we do is we just have our model and then we have virtual assistants go ahead and execute on it. Now, I do have a full-time acquisition manager that manages everything. So he manages the virtual assistants and makes sure that we're sending out at least 100 offers a day, right? Because in this business, it's about the M&Ms. It's mailing and marketing. Everything else is ancillary. So you've got to be making offers every single day for your deal flow. And then you've got to be getting those that you're buying, right? You've got to get your due diligence checklist. Somebody's got to go out and make sure that that property report is being filled out correctly. And so we have a process for that. And again, using WeGoLook.com or a local Craigslist gig, we have someone local go out, fill out our due diligence checklist, as well as going on Google Earth and What3Words.com and the GIS maps for the county, getting all the maps. The acquisition manager takes a look at everything, reviews, says, yeah, we'll go ahead and close on that. Then we go ahead and buy the property. So then after we buy the property, we just quickly do our pricing and create an ad, and then we have our virtual assistants make sure we're ubiquitous. We want to be everywhere on that ad, and that property has to sell in 30 days. If it doesn't sell in 3 days, and I look at that property report on Friday, how many properties did we buy, how many properties did we sell, and how many are pending? If I've got a property that's been on the market for 45 days, something's wrong, and we've got to either adjust our pricing or change our copy or something and get things sold.
How many things are you mailing out every day? You're only mailing offers. You're not mailing the yellow postcards. Do you want to sell your piece of land? It's strictly an offer?
It's strictly an offer. I don't want, again, I mean, look, do I get nasty Google voice messages? Absolutely. sometimes you really are way off on our pricing. But I'd rather be a little too low than way too high. And again, I don't want to spend all day, and I don't want my team spending all day being in the appraisal business, talking to people that might be interested in selling, make me an offer.
What else should people know?
I think that, this model appeals to people like myself that have absolutely no passion for, single family home flipping and fixing and flipping. I mean, I tried doing a fix and flip out here, and I actually made money because the market was right, the timing was right, but I was miserable.
Yeah, I don't like flipping. That's just too much work. I mean, I've done it, but man, that's problematic. It's like anything though. Look, if you have a system and you really get yourself acclimated to managing dozens of single family homes or managing land flips, which is basically what you're doing, or managing single family home flips or apartment renovations or whatever, it's just whatever you decide on. See, that's the problem with most people in life. They never really make a decision. And if you'll decide on something and dive deep into it, you can get really good at it. Then you become systematized and it's like second nature. Things that other people do for me that I hire them to do, I mean, I would be lost if I tried to do what they do, And so, I mean, that's true with everything, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. It's so funny. I was talking to someone yesterday and she asked me, she's like, so Mark, what other, properties are you buying? Because, I'm interviewing experts like you all day long that are in all these different real estate niches and they all sound amazing, right? And these people have all made millions of dollars. I'm like, no, I just do land. That's it. And because that's just what works well for me. And I really want to stay focused. And like you said, it's about Kaizen. It's, every single day just getting a little bit better. Have you ever watched that documentary, Jiro Dreams of Sushi?
Yes, I did. A bunch of my friends went to Japan and went there. I didn't go on that trip. I'd already been to Japan. So, but yes, I've seen it. So he's a specialist. Is that your point? He's really passionate.
Well, yeah, he's just, he's taking something that seems very simple and he's become the best in the world at it. I mean, how can you become the best sushi chef in the world? But he is. But he's just focused on just doing that. And that's what he loves. And he's become the best at it. And if you watch the documentary, he's not even the guy anymore. It's his son. It's the apprentices that do all the work. But he's, always trying to get better.
What is your business? I assume, although I don't even know this, that you, Mark, are a guru and you teach other people how to do this. And you probably have info products and a coaching program and that kind of stuff. Would that be a correct idea?
Yeah. So Frontier Properties is actually my full-time business of buying and selling raw land. And then a couple years ago, I started LandGeek, which teaches people my model. And I tell you what, Jason, it's been the best thing I've ever done, because before, Frontier Properties was pretty lonely and not as fulfilling. So now, because I'm teaching people how to do this, even if I get someone to, you know, $10,000 a month in passive income, that really moves the needle in their life. And so it's great. We've got this community and everyone's real open and sharing, and it's just this abundance mentality that there's way more than enough for everybody. I mean, you, me, you know, 100,000 other people could get into this niche, and we'll run out of money before we run out of deals. So yeah, if you go to thelandgeek.com, you can learn, you know, a lot more about the model, and you can download for free our passive income blueprint and get the ebook, How to Avoid the Three Fatal Land Buying Mistakes, and then learn more on the podcast. So yeah, we do share a lot of this information and are very generous with it as well.
Yeah, good stuff, good stuff. Well, give out your website if you would. I think maybe you sort of did already, but just to be formal about it, what is the website?
Sure, it's thelandgeek.com.
Good stuff. Well, Mark, thank you so much for joining us today, and this was an interesting discussion. I do have one final question for you.
Sure.
On what terms do you structure the sale of the land? Give us an example deal, if you would. You bought the land for X, you sold it for X, and then what were the terms of that land contract on which you sold it?
Right. So here's a deal we did last week. We bought 160 acres for $6,000, and we flipped it 4 days later for $55,000. And so that was a cash deal. Now, that person just wanted to just... they didn't want to do owner financing. Now, another deal that we did was, and this is more typical on some of these larger deals, we might buy a property, let's say a 40 for $3,500, and then we'll sell that property for around, say, $29,000 at 12.7% over 15 years, right? So it's about a car payment.
And so you amortize that 15-year loan?
We amortize it over 15 years. So we try to get our money out as much as we can on the down. But if we can't, then we'll go about 6 months before we get our principal out. And then the rest of the time, we let that note go and just collect the money each month. And I found this amazing site. Jason, you might be able to use this company. It's called ZimpleMoney.com. Instead of simple, it's Z, Zimple. And they collect the ACH. The fees are really low. It's set it and forget it. So you set up that note with them.
They're basically a loan servicer.
They're a loan service. And so I don't even have to worry about handling the loan servicing anymore. It's just automatic. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's great. But I mean, certainly there are many loan servicers out there, like FCI is a huge loan servicer, and there are many others. What's so unique about Zimple, if anything, or do you just like them? I mean, it's just a...
Well, because their software allows just... because if you're managing, you know, so many notes, right, you don't want to have to go in there and hire somebody to manually log in each payment. And this just is a one-time setup, and then it does all the calculations for you.
Oh, yeah. So it sounds like it's
your customers can go on and see their current balance at any time.
Yeah, right. Okay, so it sounds like it's a little more of a webby kind of techie approach to loan servicing than maybe FCI. It sounds like it's a little more modern, possibly.
It's more modern. It's way less expensive because you get a loan servicing software company for like 10.
It'll cost you 20, 30 bucks a month.
Oh, okay. What I mean, if you own the software, it's like $10,000 or something.
Oh, yeah. No, not to buy the software. I mean, I'm talking about loan servicing companies that have people and web portals, and they have collection departments, foreclosure departments, all of that good stuff.
Yeah. And those are great too.
Yeah, you're familiar with FCI, right? I mean, they're
giant.
Sure. Yeah, okay. So that's what I'm comparing it to. Good stuff. Well, Mark, this has been a great conversation. Thank you, and happy investing to you, and appreciate you sharing your wisdom with us.
Jason, thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
You know, sometimes I think of Jason Hartman as a walking encyclopedia on the subject of creating wealth.
Well, you're probably not far off from the truth, Penny, because Jason actually has a 3-book set on creating wealth that comes with 60 digital download audios.
Yes, Jason has that unique ability to make you understand investing the way it should be. It's a world where anything less than 26% annual return is disappointing.
I love how he actually shows us how we can be excited about these scary times and exploit the incredible opportunities this present economy has afforded us.
We can pick local markets untouched by the economic downturn, exploit packaged commodities investing, and achieve exceptional returns safely and securely.
I also like how he teaches you to protect the equity in your home before it disappears and how to outsource your debt obligations to the government.
And the entire set of advanced strategies for wealth creation is being offered at a savings of $94.
That's right. And to get your Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series, complete with over 60 hours of audio and 3 books, just go to jasonhartman.com/store.
If you want to be able to sit back and collect checks every month, just like a banker, Jason's Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series is for you. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.